This is the second of three talks by Andy Economides at the Evangelism Training Day on the 3rd of May 2008, which started with a series of questions, the first one being, what made the difference when you realised you had to tell people about Jesus, and what was going through your mind?
What was in my mind? I don't know really. I didn't have a plan, but I had this ability now to just share Jesus with people that I never had before. I had the desire and the ability, and I was finding that it doesn't mean it was dead easy, by the way, because you still have a choice. Every day we have a choice, every minute of the day we have choices. So I'm in a situation, I'm thinking, ooh, there's an opportunity here. There's something is, you know. So I get on a train and the woman is pushing the trolley. And I'm feeling something. Ooh. Get your book out the bag and give her the book. Watch this. So I got the book out my bag, one of my books, You Can Fly, and I said to the woman pushing the trolley of teas and coffees on the train to London, I said, excuse me, I'd like to give you a copy of my book. Look, I'm on the back. I wrote the book. She took it. She said, oh. She said, why have you given me this book? Why, I feel, to use her word, I feel flattered. So I thought, I don't know what to say. Well, I just thought I'd give you it. I hope you find it interesting and helpful. That's it. Then I got off the train at Croydon, and I was going to get a taxi to go to a meeting, and I thought, oh dear, look at that big issue, man. Go on, get him. Have a little word with him. Had a little word with him, gave him a book, had a few words with him. Then I get in a taxi. I thought, I'm fishing now. I'm thinking, so that day I'm like in a fishing mood. I'm like, I'm out. I'm going to a meeting at a Chinese restaurant, famous Chinese restaurant in East Croydon. But on the way there, I'm talking to a woman, and all I did was give her a book, nothing else. To talk to a big issue man, give him a book, something, and then get in a taxi, have a little conversation, end up giving him one of my gospel books, and just left it to God. So it's like I'm in a fishing mood. So, you know, sometimes I have like, ooh, if you speak to this woman pushing the tea and trolley now, you know she's up for it. And I said, I know, Lord. I know. It's almost like I have a little connection with him and with someone. Ooh, I'm going to get them. Or say hello. It's like I walk to work, and after about a year, I noticed that on the way to work, this man and I pass. I have never said anything. He has never said anything. He will never, ever say anything to me. Ever. Why should he? But I will. So after a year of seeing this man on my way to work, I decided one day to open the can, to start the process. So one day, as I'm passing him literally, I say, good morning. Doesn't say anything. He's like, nothing. So the next day, I see him again. Good morning. So after a few weeks of good morning and hellos and smiles, all I've got to now, this far with this man is a good morning and a smile. If I don't say anything now, he will say it first. He likes me. That's how it starts. I could tell you stories, and then, you know, with other people, right, what happened then? This happened. What happened then? This happened. What happened then? He became a Christian. Where is he now? He's even still a Christian. From a hello. From a good morning. I was on a mission, and I was an assistant missioner to J. John at a university. In walks this guy, goes over to the bookstall, picks up a gospel book called Dead Sure, looks at it, puts it down. I've got him. The moment is captured on film. I'm going to have him. So I go over there. I said, excuse me. I said, I saw you pick up that book and put it down again. I'd like to give you it. I'll pay for it. Little gift from me. Thank you. That's it. That's all I did. That's all I said. I saw you pick up the book. I saw you put it down again. He's about to walk away. He just came in and inquired. I saw him. Go over to him, Andy. Swiftly. Just say this one sentence. He took it away. 24 hours later, he comes back into the hall. I go up to him and said, hello. How'd you get on with the book? He said, I read it. I said, what do you mean? He said, I read it. I said, what do you mean you read it? He said, last night I read the book. I said, what do you mean? He said, I read the book. I said, well, all of the book. How can you read a book in a night? He said, I read it all. I said, you read all the book? He said, I read all the book. I said, did you read the stuff at the end? Did you get to the end? I said, did you read that? He said, I read it. I said, well, what did you do? He said, I did it. I said, what, you admitted, you believed, you gave your life, and you gave your life to Christ. You became a Christian. He said, I did it. I said, fantastic. I said, you got time for a coffee? It's called follow-up now. So we do coffee. 6 months later, I return to the university as a guest speaker for their weekend away. And he's been baptized. He's gone on with Christ. I just saw a guy pick up a book. That's all I did. I saw a guy pick up a book.
The second question was, do you think your past in stealing has helped you to spot opportunities for evangelism today?
That's a good question. Yeah. No, I don't really. No, I know what you mean. No, I don't really. I think it's something that has been given me, but I think it's something that I've learnt to develop with God's help. It's a gift He's given me, but it's not something that I take for granted. It's not something that I don't have a choice about. It's not something that I haven't shaped and continue to. So, okay, I am called by God as an evangelist. We're not all evangelists, but we are all called to be witnesses. So that's the answer. Any other questions?
The third question was, do you ever feel fear when you see the opportunities for evangelism? And how do you cope with it?
Often, I'm afraid. Often. Like 60, 70% of the time, I'm frightened. What's that got to do with it? Do it scared. It's like very few occasions have I thought, oh, I don't feel scared. This is a breeze. This is dead easy. Most of the time, I'm thinking, ooh. God help me. Here we go again. So it's something that I have learnt and still learn to overcome. Every situation is new. It's like when I was in Kenya, out in the west somewhere, in the sticks. I'd read sometime before, and something must have lodged. I read about Reinhard Bonnke that he'd went to this hotel in Africa and he addressed all the staff. I thought, ooh. So I was in Kenya and I thought, I'm going to do that. So I went to the manager and I said, how many staff do you have? He said, about 40. I said, if you could gather as many tomorrow morning before I leave, could I address as many of the staff? I just want to talk to them. Try that in England. Why not? But I mean, it'd be, you know, something else to happen here, wouldn't it? So he said, I just want to talk to them for 10 minutes. I want to tell them about Jesus, how he can help. And I give them my story. He said, so the next morning, we were about to leave. He'd gathered about 20, 22 staff in a private room, and he was there. They all sat round these tables, and I just told them about Christ. But I had to overcome something. Oh, what's this crazy thought about asking the manager for permission to talk to the staff? What is that about? Why? Where's that come from? Can I do that? Can I even ask him? I don't know if I can ask him. Can I even ask him? Forget about what his answer might be. Can I ask the manager for permission to do this? I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can do that. Ask him. So Jesus, help me. So he's been helping me. So we did that. I had gospel books and discipleship books ready. I preached. I finished with this prayer of coming to Christ. And every staff member got a gospel stroke discipleship book. It's up to you, God. You carry on now. I'm on my way to another place. It's great. Any other questions?
The next question was, do you carry around a library with you?
Often. Yeah, often. I mean, I'm in a jacuzzi with Jay John. Me and Jay John were just talking here, and I'm looking over here thinking, she's listening, she's here. She's listening to everything I'm saying with Jay John. We're not even looking at her. But this half of the eye is looking at her. She loves it. Here we go. I know something's going to happen now. I think I know what's going to happen. She's going to ask us something now. I think that's what's going to happen. We're not even going to say anything. So we're just chatting away. She turned to me and she said, what charitable work do you do? I thought, here we go. So we started. Her name is Sally. She's Jewish. Her husband died of cancer. She has two daughters. She doesn't pray. She does yoga. I know where she lives. She just told me about her life. It was just, I'm in the jacuzzi. Jay John's on this side. I'm talking to her. We're having this amazing conversation. I answer her question. She just tells me about her life. In walks in another guy in the jacuzzi. Jay John looks at him 1 second, immediately says to him, you can imagine this, can't you? What's your name then? Where are you from? Because he looks a bit like, you know, a bit like us in colour. Olive, you know. Nice. Get it, innit? So Jay John says to him, where are you from? He said, oh, I'm from Cyprus. He says, ah, Cyprus, we're from Cyprus. You're Greek Cypriot? Yeah, Greek Cypriot. What do you do? So he's like a second year student. He's going to be a surgeon like his father. What's his name? Sodiri. Sounds like soteria. Same word. I said, Sodiri, I've got a trust called soteria. So he gets in. We have a little conversation now. So we're boiling to death. I'm in the jacuzzi. I've been there a long time. But for Jesus, I'm going to stay there a bit longer. Yeah, I should have gone out. Jesus, get me out. So we get out. I go to my car. I thought, go and get a couple of books. Went to my glove compartment, pulled out two of my gospel books. Went to find Sally. She's having lunch. went to find Sodiri, the young student. He's having lunch. And all I did was, all I could do was, nice to meet you, Sodiri. Wish you all the best. You know, here's one of my books. I hope you find it interesting and helpful. Thank you. That's all I did. I don't think there's anything more that I could do. Even my contact numbers are there. But I just prayed. Any other questions?
The next question was, whose books were they?
They're my books. Lovely, over there. Any other questions? Okay, let's turn to John 4. Oh, we're going to have lunch. Lovely. I'm looking forward to lunch. Lord, we pray for Man United now. No, I'm only kidding. No, I'm really mucking about. Pray for Man United. May they win. Jesus' name. No, I'm kidding. I'm mucking about. It is. Really? We're going to kill you, mate. No, I'm only kidding. Look, come on, John 4. John 4, verse 4. Now, it says now. John 4, verse 4. Now, he had to go through Samaria. That's a short verse. Did you notice? Have a look at that. Paul. It's a short verse.
It is a short verse.
I'll just read it to you because you haven't got your Bible.
No.
Now. He had to go through Samaria. Do you know, it wasn't just geographically he had to go through Samaria. Yes, he had to go through Samaria because he had to go through Samaria. Because to get from A to B, he had to go through Samaria. But do you know the other reason, the main reason why he had to go through Samaria was to meet this one woman. I felt through the years, I've had to go and do something, go through somewhere for one person. I have felt that, experienced that, and the results have shown that. He had to go through Samaria to meet one person. What happened next? So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That's about noon. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Verse 9. The Samaritan woman said, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews don't associate with Samaritans. So he started off with this question. When the woman came to draw water, it's like immediately, as you read it, you think, she just came to draw water. And Jesus turned to her and just like immediately said, "Will you give me a drink?" He did something you weren't supposed to do. Let's do that. He asked a question, let's do that. Sometimes we talk too much, we preach too much. We need to do what's appropriate at that point, at that time. If it is to talk, chat, yes, do. But you notice he began with a question. It's very, very powerful. When I asked the Andy, who worked in the restaurant in Chichester, "Do you think it's possible to have a personal relationship with God?" That was the question. At that point, there wasn't any need. It wasn't right to begin to speak to him. I have a plan in my heart about that young man. So I'm going to follow through and just build up my relationship with him and then invite him to a J. John dinner that we have in October. But it started with a question. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank from it himself, as did his sons, and his flocks, and herds? So he's almost deliberately, he's been really, really interesting now. He's interesting. You're interesting. I'm listening to your story a moment ago. Wonderful story of how you've come through and what's happened to you. You are interesting people. I'm looking at you. You're dead interesting, you people. Who are you? You're really, really, really interesting because you have the light of Christ within. You have the life of God within you. You have something fantastic in an earthen vessel. Who are you? I'm really interested. These feet, they're beautiful. These are beautiful. Look. Fantastic feet. Fantastic. How beautiful are the feet of men and women who carry good news. What are these feet? Any old feet? Smelly feet? Deformed feet? No. They are beautiful feet. Jesus was really interesting. Started off with a question, talking about H2O, and she's thinking, so who are you? What, are you greater than Jacob? Hey, you haven't even got a pot. How are you going to get down the well? I've got a pot, you haven't. I'm not going to lend you my pot. We're going to fly down the well, climb down the well, jump down the well. What are you doing then? Are you greater? So what plan have you got? You know, she's thinking, he's talking about H2O. He's thinking about going down the well here. I don't know how he's going to do that. How's he going to do that? How is he going to do that? She's thinking, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Jesus answered her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. It's really simple, isn't it? It's really simple. Everyone who drinks water will be thirsty again. But everyone who drinks the water I will give. Do you know, we can say to people, do you know that he has water that if you drink, you will never ever get thirsty again. I'm in Africa talking to hundreds or thousands of people, and before I say anything, I'll crack open a bottle of Coke and I'll just drink it, and it'll take 30 seconds, and they're like, they just love it. It's like, come unto me, everyone who's thirsty. If you're thirsty, come. Jesus just speaks simply. Everyone who drinks water will get thirsty again. We can say to people, but there is water that if you take from him, you will never thirst. The penny begins to drop with her. The woman said, sir, give me this water. So she's thinking, oh, you've got some magic, have you? Give me this water. She's beginning to believe, so that I won't have to come here again. Jesus initiated, he started it. We can start. Jesus is drawing this woman and inviting her. Jesus is connected with this woman. We can connect. Jesus is building a bridge with this woman. I wanted to invite this guy to a meeting, and God said to me, don't invite him. He won't come. the bridge isn't strong enough. J-John says about me and him that I built a bridge and Jesus walked across it. So I just built a tiny little bridge that was just about strong enough. In a few moments here and there, when I was a student studying engineering, I just would bump into him every now and then, have lunch with him occasionally, and just J-John says that there was a bridge that was built and Christ walked across it. So I thought, if I ask this guy to come along to this meeting, he's not going to come. So I said, what do I do? So the Lord says to me, take him out for lunch, just get to know him a little bit, and then invite him. And then he'll say yes. I thought, ooh, well, that sounds really simple. I can do that. So I picked him up from work, we went for lunch, had lunch. On the way back, walking through the streets of Chichester, he says something like this. He says, when I'm with you and we talk about God, and you talk about God, I'm beginning to feel closer to this God that you're talking about. So then I invited him to this meeting that we had, and he came. And Jesus here was building a bridge. We can build bridges. You've got some activities coming up. Then you've got a banquet coming up. And you're going to go out there to people that you don't know and to people that you do know. Some friends, some people. And during the next few weeks, and then after, you can take it on. This is something that we can do forever. During the next few weeks, what you can be doing is just building those relationships. Just go to Costa's. And just say, right, in the next few weeks, before the banquet comes up, I'm just going to prayerfully pick out some people that I'm going to just be with. I might not even preach to or say nothing. I'm just going to be with. Just take them out for coffee, or just go and be with them, or offer to help them, or just ring them up. I'm just going to build on the friendship that I have with a few people. And then, and only then, will I invite them to this event or to the banquet. And then God will honor you. And this is what Jesus was doing. He was started with a question. Will you give me a drink? And then the rest is history. I was doing some door-to-door work in Swanfield Drive in Chichester. I did a survey. 6 months later, I knocked on this door again, and the man opened the door, and he said, I remember you. I said, I remember you. Did a little survey, didn't we? He said, yeah, we did a little survey. Months ago, yeah. I said, oh, we had a little chit-chat at the door. I'm at the door now. I think, Jesus, what's happening here? Come on. Ooh, this is good. So we're having the chit-chat on the door. I ask myself in. Can I come in? So I'm in. He's fixing his central heating system. I'm interested. I'm an engineer. We get chatting. Then I invite him to the restaurant meeting we're going to have in the hotel. And I told him I want him to come, sit at my table, free meal. There's going to be an after-dinner speaker, blah, blah, blah. Please come. Nothing for you to pay. Great evening. Will you come? He came. 120, 140 people. 40 to 60% of the people, guests there, don't know Jesus. So he's sitting on my table. I've got other guests there as well. So have a great evening. Jadon gets up to speak, closes the meeting, coffee served. I lean over to Lyndon and say, Lyndon, what do you think? That's a question. Lyndon, what did you think? There's a question mark. He says, you people, you've got something. I've loved it. You've got something. I've loved it. It's not depressing. It's not depressive. He's not depressed. He's not ill. He's not unhappy. He's like, he's the most joyful, lovely, fantastic guy you could ever meet. He's just fantastic. But he said, you people, you've got something. There's a spark about you, you've got something. That was the first question. Second question, we're talking about questions. I said, did you pray the prayer just now? Just came out with this, just like that. I'm not getting fussed about this. I'm not beating around the bush. I'm not beating around the bush. His reply won't be around the bush. If you don't beat around the bush, they won't beat around the bush. If you're embarrassed, they'll be embarrassed. I said, did you pray the prayer just now? He said, no. I'm thinking, he didn't pray the prayer. I don't care if he prayed the prayer or not. Now, don't misunderstand me here. I don't care if he prayed the prayer or not. Am I discouraged? Am I put off? Am I backing off now because he said, no, I didn't pray the prayer? I said, oh, you didn't pray the prayer. He said, no. I said, okay. I said, can I come and see you next week? So next week, I'm in his house, Tuesday night. I can't remember my PIN number, but I remember it's Tuesday. It's true. I can't remember my PIN number, but I remember it's Tuesday. I'm in his house. I leave. I take one or two other people with me. At the end of the evening, I say, Lyndon, I've got a little gospel book. Now, last week you heard some stuff. This, when you read it, if you make the commitment and open the door, will you let me know this week? He says, I'll let you know. We leave. I pray, Jesus. Convert him. We leave. He reads it. He opens the door. I contact him, or he contacts me a few days later. I said, what happened? He said, when you left, I read it. I did it. I gave my life to Christ that night. I said, fantastic. How do you feel? He felt good. He looked good, smelt good, felt good. He was good. He was good, I was good, God is good, isn't it? So a few weeks later, his wife becomes a Christian. And then they start coming to church. Then he becomes one of the leaders on the council of the church. God help him. Then he goes to theological college in Bristol. Then he gets ordained as an Anglican minister. Then he becomes a minister. Serves in a church on the south coast for a few years. Then he gets cancer and he beats it. Then he gets cancer again and he dies. I went to his funeral. He was only young, 45, 46, four kids, all know Christ, packed, jam-packed. He was really loved. Lyndon was one of these men. He's larger than life, full of life and fun. It started off with a survey. Went to the funeral. Two people are mentioned in the address. Only two. One by one. His wife and family. Number two. They tell the story of how this minister became a minister, but how he became a Christian first. And then went to college. Then was ordained. Then served God as a pastor in a church. And I'm sitting at the back, I just got a seat, thinking, I was nearly crying. Thinking, you know, this is what you've called me to do. To give life is the best thing. And it wasn't a funeral that was like depressing, sad, although there was sadness because of loss. There was a real note of triumph because of where he is today. And I just gave him a book. I invited him to a dinner. You've got one coming up. I gave him a book. When he asked him the question, what did you think of tonight? You people have something. I asked him another question. Did you pray the prayer? wasn't put off when he said he didn't. I thought, I'm not discouraged. I'm not put off. It doesn't always happen quick in the first go. Like, followed up. So, just pause there for a moment. What time are we stopping?
Quarter two.
Quarter two. Woo! Woo! Ooh. Ooh, I don't know. Ooh. Ooh. Gee. Now, what I've got here This is a gospel book that I've written, and a discipleship book. The Savior of the World, Four Steps for the Believer, How to Live by the Spirit, How to Make a Difference, How to Win by Faith, Salvation So Great, Keys to Success, Towards Spiritual Maturity, What the World Needs. So for someone who doesn't know Jesus, or someone who knows Jesus, who may be young in their Christian walk, and they can know him more and what they need to do now, this is a really nice, simple, yet profound and, may I say, quite powerful little gospel book to give to someone. Now, we've reduced the price of these as much as we can. And it's buy one, get one free, buy 10, get 10 free. Now, what I'd... buy one, get one free, buy 10, get 10 free. So it's like there's £7 for two, whatever. So I say to you today, during the next few weeks, today, if you can, take some of these with you. If you don't have money, just send in the check. The address is in the back. Talk to us afterwards about the money thing. Take some of these with you and give them to somebody in the next few weeks and pray. If you want me to sign it, if you know the person now, I'm happy to do that. But in the next few weeks, as you meet people, go to that friend, that work colleague, that neighbour, and say, we just heard this guy. We just heard him. You know, he's a really written this nice little book. I'd like to give you it as a little gift. Wrap it up in paper. Put a little bow on it. Write something in it. You know, it's just like, just walk across the road with it. Walk into work with it. Walk into uni with it. And give it to one of your lecturers. Just, you know, just so it's your birthday. Or it's not your birthday, but I bought you a little gift. You know, and then just see what God can do. Just be open and stay open. What God can do. You know, sometimes all I've ever done is I haven't said anything. I've just invited people to a dinner. That's why I'm organising a dinner myself for 200 people in October. And we've implemented the rule that the Christians can only come if they bring someone who doesn't know Jesus. So we want 200 people that don't know Jesus to come to the dinner. So, you know, through these dinner things and through the books, through the years, people have come to Christ. Whether they hear it or they read it, sometimes I need like a reason, an excuse to begin a conversation. Like, we've got this banquet, you can say to people, I'd love you to be a guest. One of my guests, come and sit at my table and come to this banquet. I'd like to give you this book. And then you can say, well, do you know that book I gave you a few weeks ago, a month or two ago? Did you read it? So today, help yourself to those.
Thank you for listening. For more information, go to www.kingschurchportsmouth.com. .co.uk